Yeah, I was an MI5 intelligence officer. An agent is someone that you recruit and send to infiltrate groups. If you're an officer, you coordinate the operations within MI5. And I worked there in the 1990s, which is where I met a man called David Shaler, who was my ex-partner as well as my ex-colleague. And we worked there for about 6 years each. And during that time, we saw so many things going wrong, so many crimes being committed, that we decided to resign and blow the whistle on the spies. Because we did that, we ended up literally on the run around Europe, ahead of their secret police. We had to live in hiding for 10 months in France, and then they tried to extradite David from France to stand trial in the UK. So he was put in prison in Paris in 1998 for 4 months. That extradition attempt failed, so then we had another 2 years living in exile in Paris, and then he voluntarily returned in the year 2000 and stood trial for a breach of a law called the Official Secrets Act, which makes it a crime for anyone who has worked as an intelligence officer to say anything ever about their work in MI5. Even if you're reporting murder on the part of the spies, you're the one that's committing the crime by reporting it.
Okay, so what can you tell us about the 9/11 attack? The London attacks and false flag operations in general.
The primary reason why I left and blew the whistle was because of a false flag terrorist operation, which occurred in 1996 when MI6, which is a sort of overseas wing of the intelligence agencies in the UK, funded a plot to try and assassinate Colonel Gaddafi of Libya. Now, obviously that went wrong because Gaddafi is still very alive, but it did kill innocent people, both with the explosion under the car and the ensuing security shootout. And also it was illegal under UK law, because one of the few things that is real about James Bond is that they do have a license to kill if they get prior written permission from their political masters. Now in this case they didn't get permission from the Foreign Secretary. So it was illegal as well as a highly unethical and immoral attack. So we personally witnessed a false flag attack. When it came to look at things like 9/11 and 7/7, you've got to bear in mind that there is this sort of standard weapon that intelligence agencies use, which is false flag terrorism, to gain their political ends. So that's what hooked me in my interest in 9/11, because there are so many unanswered questions about that attack that at the very least I would say we need a new inquiry just to deal with that mountain of evidence. But also if you look at 7/7 as well, there are some strange anomalies. I don't think there's anywhere near as much evidence about whether it is or isn't an inside job as there is for 9/11. But a couple of the notable anomalies were that the train that the bombers, the alleged bombers, were supposed to have taken that day from Luton down to London was cancelled. And yet the government said in its official narrative, yes, they took the 7:40 train that morning to get to King's Cross and then to spread out from King's Cross onto the tubes and carry out their bombings. And they can't physically have done it because the train didn't run. In fact, there is no train that morning, they're all delayed, there is no train that morning that would have placed them at the right time in King's Cross Station to have carried out the attacks at the times when they occurred. So there's that, that issue. There's also a very strange coincidence as well. There was a man called Peter Power who runs a company called Visor Consultants, which specializes in running terrorism drills so that people can learn how to respond. He's a former senior counter-terrorism officer from the Metropolitan Police as well. And he was running an exercise that morning. And after the bombings had occurred, or the explosions had occurred, he went on the national media to talk about it. And he said live that he was running this operation, and halfway through the operation, the attacks occurred. And they occurred in precisely the same stations at precisely the same times as the ones in his drill. And he said in those interviews that the hair stood up on the back of his neck because of the coincidence. Now, I don't know. It certainly would be intriguing to find who he was running those drills for, who was paying him, who had organised it. But also, it's part of a pattern for other incidents, like the Madrid bombings, like 9/11 itself. Before these big, high-profile terrorist atrocities, there seems to be some sort of security drill going on, which can confuse the initial response to a live attack. Whether that was the case in London, we don't know. But again, we haven't had any form of independent inquiry. We've just had a faceless bureaucrat write an anonymous official narrative, which has now been shown to be full of factual errors. So again, we need a new proper inquiry into 7/7.
For for the 9/11 attacks, a lot of people say there must be thousands of people involved.
If you want to run any sort of terrorist or false flag attack, it's very much need to know, because it's usually highly illegal. So there might be one or two people who have the overall picture, and then other people will have compartmentalized views of what is happening. And there's very much a need to know. I mean, other projects have been kept very well hidden for years, in the Manhattan Project to develop nuclear weapons. I think 130,000 people were involved in that, and nobody breathed a word for years. Same with the Iran-Contra scandal in the 80s, you know, about 5,000 people involved, and it took years for that to be uncovered. So even if it were the case that thousands of people were involved in something illegal on 9/11, coming out of the American administration, the American government, they would probably keep quiet. And also, where would their interest lie in going public about it? One, that would certainly ruin their livelihoods, and it might well jeopardize other things up to and including their lives. So there's a strong incentive to keep quiet if you're involved in those sort of things. What I think we need, as well as an independent inquiry, is some sort of truth commission whereby people can give evidence for immunity. So they will say, yes, actually, this happened, I was involved in planning this particular little aspect, but because they've come clean, they've spoken the truth, they are no longer facing some sort of legal penalty. I mean, that happened very well, for example, in South Africa after the apartheid system collapsed, where they had a truth commission, Truth and Reconciliation Commission. So that could be a way of encouraging people to blow the whistle.
Are you afraid of blowing the whistle?
I was petrified of blowing the whistle, yes. Because I knew that when Shayla and I went public about the crimes of MI5 and MI6, they would pursue us relentlessly. And they have indeed, you know, 3 years in exile, on the run, two highly fraught trials. And also, you get blacklisted, so you can't make a living. And Shayla, unfortunately, seems to have had some sort of breakdown because of all the pressure he's been under as well. So you do pay a high price for it, and I'm not surprised so few people do it.
Okay. What are intelligence services for?
What are intelligence services for? That's a very good question. I wrote a book called Spies, Lies and Whistleblowers, which the government banned for years. And in it I say, look, it's not working. We need a rethink. What are our countries realistically facing as threats to their national security, and how can they best protect themselves from that? Take a step back, think about it intellectually, and then put an agency in place to deal with those real threats, not some phantasm out there in the Middle East.
What are your wishes for the future?
Personally or politically?
Both.
Well, certainly, I do a lot of work for the 9/11 Truth Movement in terms of organising speaking tours for people like David Ray Griffin, Richard Gage, William Rodriguez, and I do my own tours as well. I'm off to Canada in 2 weeks to do a national speaking tour. And I would like there to be some sort of, I would like the movement to break through. I would like people to realise, actually, we need new inquiry. It looks like we've been lied to, because the way 9/11 has been misused to act as the foundation for the war on terror, to justify the wars in the Middle East, to justify the shredding of our constitutions, is disgraceful. And there is such a mountain of evidence to disprove the official account. I think if we can get that evidence in front of people, it'd be very easy to bring down the whole house of cards. You know, disprove 9/11, we disprove the war on terror, the need for wars, the need for the shredding of our freedoms. So that's my political wish, is to spread the word as rapidly as possible. And it's great, you know, that we can use the internet to do that as well. Personally, I'd like to travel, and I'd like world peace, and I'd like to travel a lot. I would like to be able to live a safe and secure life without worrying that we're sliding into some sort of hideous police state. I would like to see justice for brave people who speak out, and justice for the people who've suffered because of 9/11.
Thank you.
Thank you.